Back in college, Georgie would type while Seth swanned around the Spoon offices, thinking out loud. Then he'd be all righteous indignation when the magazine came back from the presses. "Georgie, where's my Unabomber joke?"
"Who can be sure? Probably holed up in Montana."
"That's a great joke that you cut."
"It was a joke?" "See, it'd be a lot easier for me if you made your jokes funny. Then I wouldn't get so confused."
His abode looked like the creation of a campfire story. Its black walls stood 6 stories high. Scraps of worn paint peeled beneath the fingers of a sudden, foreboding wind. 3 uneven turrets jutted up from the house like a devil's crown, one of which bore a large hole in its east-facing side. Every window in the mansion, and Cianni counted only 7, hid behind black shutters, all chained and locked, without the slightest glimmer of candlelight behind them. The tiles composing the path up to the front door, which hung only by its top hinge, were cracked into pieces and overturned, and Cianni didn't trust a single one of the porch's gray, weathered boards to hold her weight long enough for her to ring the bell. "I've been shot to hell," Cianni murmured. Magician Avioski, her escort, frowned beside her.
"Never trust what your eyes see at a magician's home, Miss Twill. You know that."
The Junior League of Willow Creek, Texas, is one of the oldest and most elite women's societies in the country, and we work hard to keep it that way. Outsiders need not apply. So yes, it's true that we at the Junior League of Willow Creek are all about being made up of the creme de la creme of society. Do you believe that the richest of the rich in Texas would donate money, weeks on their sprawling ranches, or lunches in their elegant mansions to just anyone? I think not.
I walk in the back door and leave my umbrella in the mudroom. In the hall, I almost bump into Alicia.
"Where have you been? Janice is here. What time is it?"
11:15.
"I think that's good luck, isn't it?"
Mama and Janice are standing in the hall outside my room. Janice is carrying a huge bag of cosmetics and other instruments of torture.
"There you are. I was getting worried."
Mama shepherds me into my room and Janice brings up the rear.
"I have to go talk to the caterers."
She's almost wringing her hands as she departs. I turn to Janice, who examines me critically.
"Your hair is all wet and tangled. Why don't you comb it out while I set up?"
"I hate to break it to you, Mr. Jacoby," I said, "but the damage is done. The impression is made. I don't want to wait at the doorstep any longer. I want to go dashing off after giants and pixies and dragons. I want to meet with mysterious strangers at crossroads and turn Widdershins in the moonlight. I want to listen to the fish, Jacoby. Come to think of it, I'm already keeping correspondence with a dog, with whom, I must admit, I find myself rather smitten." Jacoby stared.
"I've already ruined you, haven't I?"
"Looks that way."
"And I suppose there's nothing to be done about it?"
"Not a thing."
"Psst! Luna Bell! Luna Bell!"
My eyes darted around nervously because, well, I am Luna Bell. Then I saw her. Grandma Bernice. Dressed in the sweatsuit I consider most embarrassing, the cream-colored one with leopard print on the collar and cuffs, standing outside the principal's office, waving at me like mad. The other kids spotted her, too. There were a few snickers. When our eyes met, Grandma's whole face lit up with happiness, and I thought she might throw her arms open for a big hug.
"You forgot your lunch this morning, so I rushed right over with it," she said, loud and proud.